Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, January 8th, and we're glad to be able to send out this Light and Truth broadcast over WSOF and WAJJ radio stations. We're glad you're tuned in and listening, whether you're in the McKenzie listening area or the Madisonville, Kentucky listening area, or you're listening over the internet. I appreciate those that do tune in through WSOF.org, those that pick up our app as well. We're glad you're doing that, and thank God for you. Let me remind you that at our website, we have these broadcast in podcast form so that you can listen to them individually at your convenience. Download them and listen to them at another time. Now, that is minus the music. We have to take the music out because of licensing and the different restrictions there. So, but it is the broadcast in its completion except for the music. All right? Well, I hope that you've had a great day. I thank God for His goodness. Thank Him for the good day in the Lord's house on Sunday. I know this is Tuesday. Been a couple of days now, but I'm still rejoicing. Brother Marion Atkinson came in and preached for us on Sunday morning and Sunday night and did tremendous. I'm telling you, best that I've ever heard Brother Atkinson, and I've never heard him when he didn't help me. But I'm telling you, it was a real blessing to me. He spoke clearly and precisely and just pointedly. Amen. I felt like to me, to our church, and I'm so grateful for those messages and enjoyed that time. And then yesterday I had the privilege of myself and my wife and then Joshua and his wife going down to Bowling Green to the Preacher's Fellowship down there. Brother Scott Kennedy pastors the Victory Baptist Church down there in Bowling Green, and they invited us to come down and had a number of preachers, largest number of preachers I've seen in the Preacher's Fellowship thus far, and they gave me an opportunity to preach again, and I appreciate that. And thank God for it. Had a good meal and a good time of fellowship. And then we rode back home together, had a good time doing that. And I just thank the Lord for His blessings. Amen. I'm telling you, some good singing. I appreciate, you know, you go to different places, you hear different music, and some of it is all right and some of it just ain't all right. Amen. But I tell you, I appreciated the music that they had, and that was a real blessing to me. Amen. Well, let me mention something and then get right into our prayer. Do remember to pray for the Pleasant View Baptist Church over in McQuady, Kentucky. They're having revival this week at 7 o'clock each night. Now, they're having morning services for the school, but then church revival services each night at 7 o'clock. Brother Johnny Jones is preaching there. Brother Jones is from West Virginia, and I believe he'll be a blessing to you if you get a chance to go and be with the folk there at McQuady. I'm sure that Brother Massengale and the folks there will make you welcome, and you'll be thankful that you went. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, I want to tell you again, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for all your many blessings upon us. I do pray, dear God, you'd bless that meeting that we just mentioned about there at the Pleasant View Baptist Church in McQuady. Bless this broadcast, I pray. Put your anointing upon it. Use it for your glory. Save sinners. And Lord, you get the glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying with us. Thank God for the privilege to pray. The power that is in prayer. I thank God for the answers that we've heard from prayer. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to get ready to go to a song, and I've got a song picked out here by the Shepherd family that is special to me. This is one of the newer songs that the children played. It's been recorded. It's been often requested here on the station. But we had a gentleman visiting with us yesterday, came in for just a few minutes and brought a donation by the station, wanted to meet me, and I appreciate that. And I've forgotten his name. I don't have it in front of me, but I appreciate that gentleman coming by and stopping in and was telling me that he's lived a long time and he's grateful for the life that God has given him. I could tell you the number of years that he said. It's a number of years, but he's grateful for the years that God has given him and seemed to be in very good health in spite of his age, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. But he said, when you think about it and you get time, he said, just play this song for me, a song entitled, I Just Stopped By. So here's the Shepherd family with that song. I hope it's a blessing to him and to you as well. All right, I hope that song was a blessing to you. We are on our way home. We're just passing through, and I'm glad we could stop by and tell you the good news that Jesus saves. Well, we're going to be looking in the scripture now, Revelation chapter number 1. We're going to still be dealing with verse number 1 this week. And today's message and also tomorrow's message, we're going to be dealing just with verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 1. And then later on this week, we're going to pick up those first three verses and bring another message out of those. But today and tomorrow, we're going to be looking at these. And so if you will, turn with us, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1. As we begin the message. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And that first phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. I want to go back and look at that again and complete at least to the semicolon there, which must shortly come to pass. I want to try to look at that first verse there to that semicolon. When we started studying this and showed you some of these things that God had put in our heart, to be honest with you, I was overwhelmed again in my heart thinking about the blessed thought that God would reveal himself to mankind and would see fit to do that through his son. Then that he would reveal himself through his son, but not only to mankind, but to me. Amen. I was amazed even more to recognize in our text that he not only revealed himself to Christ, Christ revealed him to the world, but that he reveals himself to his servants even more intensely. And I believe that he does that on a basis of our desire to be filled with the knowledge of Christ. Amen. I believe he does that on the basis of our hunger. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. That seems to entail to me that if a man does not stir up a hunger, he'll go hungry. That if a man does not stir up a desire for God, then God does not see a need or a reason to reveal himself any more powerfully to that man or woman, as the case may be. Now, I want to think two major thoughts about this verse, and really it's about the whole book, but I'll show it to you real quickly. First of all, we notice the person of Christ unveiled. I've called these messages the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The word unveiling simply meaning revelation. Revelation meaning unveiling. And so the veil's not there. He is showing himself completely as to who he is. So we see the person in verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Can I say to you that when Christ came to earth the first time, it was in meekness. His glory was veiled through the eye of faith, and only through the eye of faith could he be recognized. For example, even his brothers and sisters growing up in the same home, many of his neighbors living in the same community, living in the same little town of Nazareth where he was raised, many of them did not believe that he was the Christ and rejected him. His brothers, even, it seems, up until his resurrection, rejected that he was the Son of God. They did not see his deity. It was not fully revealed. In other words, it was veiled. He was unknown and unwanted in this world by the very people who he came to live among and who he came to die for. Amen. One man said, this world at large was so blind as to who he was that it offered him a rank cattle stall at his birth and a rugged cross at his death. That's all the world had to offer Jesus. The Bible says it this way in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. He said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, listen to this, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That is the state of Israel in their unbelief. Christ came and offered himself to them, and yet they hid their faces from him. They wanted nothing to do with him. But that's not only the state of unbelieving Israel. That's the state of the unbelieving soul today. Christ could be known, but they refused to look his way. They refuse, even when He is in their presence, to allow His light to lighten their path. And I'm not saying that they stop God, but if they could, they would. They see no beauty in Him. They see no desirable thing in Him. And you know why? Because they've never recognized their state of lostness and what He came to deliver them from. Amen. Now, one day, however, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, His glory will not be veiled. His glory will not be hid. Amen. When He comes back, His glory will be unveiled. He's coming to smash the enemy. Thank God. Amen. He's coming to bind the forces of Satan. Amen. And He's coming to rule the world with a rod of iron, the Bible says. Amen. His deity, manifest even now by the eye of faith, will then blaze forth as a flaming fire. The whole world will be covered with the glory of the Son of God on that day. Amen. I'm telling you, He's coming to reveal Himself to this world. In the book of Revelation, the person of Christ is unveiled. And we are given view after view of that glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not only do we see the person of Christ unveiled, but we see the purpose of God unveiled. He goes on, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That phrase is packed full of powerful thoughts. Christ is coming not only to show who He is, show the person, but He's coming to show the purpose, the plan of God. God has a plan for this earth. Amen. God unveils His person through the Son, and He also unveils His plan through His Son as well. In the Gospels, we learn of Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sins. Isn't that right? In the Epistles, we learn of Jesus Christ as the shepherd of the sheep, the church. Amen. In the Revelation, we learn of Christ as the sovereign with the sword and with the scepter. Amen. 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 We see the purpose of God. The purpose of heaven is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan, and that plan is unfolded, and that plan is unveiling before the eyes of His servants. Now listen to me. This world can see that things are culminating into a one world government. This world can see that things are culminating to what they would even call the Battle of Armageddon. But they do not see that all this is in the plan of God, that God's got it all masterminded, God's got it all mapped out, God's got it all planned, and it's going to happen on God's timetable and exactly like God has it planned. Amen. Amen. Threads of prophecy are woven throughout the Scriptures. They come together into a magnificent tapestry of a portrait, a picture, a beautiful picture of the plan God has for this world. Amen. As we look through the book of Revelation, we see those threads pulled out and examined one by one, and we see them overlaid and interlocked, and we see them as they come together to show us in the book of Revelation the plan of God. Jesus is coming. I don't know when He's coming. I'm not a date setter, but I'm just listening for the sound. Amen. Ready to hear the trumpet, because I believe at any time Jesus can come. Amen. Now there's various threads, as I said, woven through this, but as they come together in the book of Revelation, we see the apostasy of the religious world. We see the falling away of the unfaithful unbelievers, those that were false professors. We see the rapture of the church, I believe, in the book of Revelation. We see wars and famines and pestilences in the book of Revelation. We see the Antichrist, the beast, and demons that are turned and unleashed across this world. In the book of Revelation, we see persecutions, the false prophet, all those things that are unparalleled in all of history. Now, there is a group of people that are called preterists that believe all the book of Revelation already happened, that it happened in AD 70 when Titus destroyed Jerusalem. And there's a problem with that, that it wasn't written until AD 95. And it's talking about things which are and have been, but it's also talking about things which shall come to pass. And the verse we read, he said, let me read it again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Not that just recently happened. Amen. that shortly must come to pass. And so we believe that this book's not talking about, when it's talking about Antichrist, it's not talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. It's not talking about some Roman leader of that day. It's talking about a man in the future that very well could be alive and well today. Amen. Because we could be that close to the coming of the Lord. I don't know. I really don't know. Again, I'm not trying to pick it out. I'm not trying to guess who is the Antichrist. I'm not really that much worried about the Antichrist because I'm waiting on Christ. Amen. But we see all that in this book, and it's all woven together. And again, I said, I don't have the intention to preach the book. I just have the intention, if I can, preach the first three chapters, because I've got a burden there in those messages to the churches that I believe is a revelation of Christ to the churches. And I hope God allows us to bring that out. But as we look at all this, we get the book brings all these things together. We see the Battle of Armageddon, followed by the Golden Age, what we call the Millennial Kingdom. And then we see the eternal destinies of men. Those that die in their sin and go to hell, and we see hell cast into the lake of fire, never to be put out, never to be turned down, never to be released, but to burn forever and ever. We see those that are saved, those that have trusted Christ, those that have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, we see them going to heaven to reign and to rule, amen, and to rejoice around the throne forever and ever. Praise God. Amen. Here's a thought that I want to give you. This is my last point. I don't mean I'm about done, but I'm not that far from being done. All right? Reveals Christ, the revelation of Christ. Reveals God's plan. And here's the phrase, which must shortly come to pass. The purpose of God is unstoppable. He said it must shortly come to pass. Not it might soon come to pass. Not it may someday come to pass. God said it must shortly come to pass. The purpose of God is unstoppable. I believe the book of Revelation was Christ revealing to John, then John revealing it to the church, that although it looked like the Antichrist was on his throne, though it looked like the persecution was at its height, though it looked like the devil was reigning like never before, Jesus Christ notified them God's plan has not been put on hold. God's plan has not been stopped. God's plan has not been detoured. Amen. God's plan still on target, and it must come to pass. Amen. All the powers of heaven cannot stop God's plan. All the powers of earth cannot stop God's plan. And all the powers of hell cannot stop God's plan. Amen. They cannot frustrate the fulfillment of God's plan. Amen. God's kingdom will come. Jesus said, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come. It will come. Amen. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 2, very familiar psalm. I'll touch on some thoughts out of the book of Psalms, and I will be done. Talking about this thing about men maybe not liking what Christ is doing, but they can't stop Him. I'm going to read the whole psalm. I want you to read along with me, if you will. I'll make comments as I go. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. By the way, they're still doing that. They still hate Christ. Isn't it amazing that the world cannot step forward and say we dislike Islam? The world cannot step forward and say we hate Mohammed. But they can step forward and say we don't like Christianity and we hate Christ. The world leaders do still rage against God and they imagine a vain thing. I'll go back to verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. By the way, the world sees Christianity as a binding force. They see Christianity as a legalistic force. They see Christianity as stopping them from enjoying the pleasures of sin that they want to enjoy. That's the way they see it. A binding force. Verse number 4 says this, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Amen. The Lord shall have them in derision. I heard Brother Jimmy Morris preach on this text and just threw some things out the other week down at Brother Logston's. And he said, when the kings of the earth are raging and the kings of the earth are railing against God, he said one thing about God, verse 4, God is not sad. God's not sitting up there boo-hooing and weeping and wishing that they would just change their mind. God's laughing at their foolishness. That's what He's doing. Verse number 5, then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Brother Moy said, and God's not silent. Amen. They can try to shut God up. They can't shut God up. Amen. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Hey, I want to stop just a minute and say this. Brother Moyes didn't say it, but I'll throw it in. God's not sad about what the world's saying. God's not silent about what the world's saying. And God's not saviorless either. He has a Savior that can save to the uttermost parts of the earth. He can bring the heathen in. Amen. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise thou therefore, O ye kings. Now he's back talking to the world. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I'm in that category. I'm glad I'm one of them that is blessed because I put my trust in him. Amen. Now the world's railing and the world's raging and the world's saying God cannot produce His plan. God cannot carry out His plan. Matter of fact, there are some people that believe that when Christ died on Calvary, that it frustrated the plan of God. That Christ came to save, but He couldn't save because the Roman soldiers killed Him. They did not kill Him. He laid down His life. Amen. He said to the Father, He said, I commend my spirit unto thee. Amen. That Roman soldier standing there in his power knew he did not have the power to kill him. And he said at the death of Christ, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. But I would like to encourage you, friend, to take notice that that man that died on the cross was more than a man. He was the very Son of God. And the Romans didn't take his life, and the Jews didn't take his life, and mankind did not take his life. He gave his life for sinners. Have you trusted him? Have you called upon him? I also want to remind you, not only did he die, but he didn't stay dead. He got up from the grave. And that same Lord Jesus has the power to save sinners. Would you call upon him? I trust and pray that you will. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.